Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joining us now, Matt Hayes, Saturday Down South, 1010XL as well. That's RJ's old station. He's a national college football reporter. He's joining us here, Matt Hayes, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. First of all, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it. Lance and I both, we said, I don't think I've ever seen anything like the way Jimbo and Nick Saban went after each other. Not good for, I'm not sure. Was it good for college football or not good for college football?
I think I go back to what the longtime old SEC commissioner Roy Cram used to say, any news is good news. And he's right. I mean, it's, you know, that's how they built their brand from being this little regional conference to deciding, oh, let's try a championship game, and then boom, it just blows up. And now they're the behemoth of all college sports. They're so strong now, guys, they could literally just say, screw the rest of you guys, we're gonna go have our own playoff and just break away from everybody. And it would be very, very successful, and ESPN would pay a ton of money for it. So I think what will happen in the spring meetings that are at the end of this month, over there in Destin, which is a little panhandle town in Florida, I think what will happen is Greg Sankey will go into the coach's meeting room and say, look, this has to end now because we don't want to be publicly bickering. If you got a problem, bring it to me or settle it between yourselves. The last thing we need is public bickering because it's not good for the brand when in reality, any news is good news. I'm a firm believer of that.
You know, Matt, you can always learn from history, and history showed people in this region when there was a Southwest Conference, you know, there's always illegal activity going on in every conference, but Southwest Conference teams started really getting after each other behind the scenes and in public, and it eventually led to, was partially responsible for leading to the demise of the Southwest Conference. I'm not saying the Southeast Conference, it's going to lead to their demise. But I do think there is something to learn from. Usually the SEC's been pretty good at keeping their dirty laundry private and not airing things out publicly. I think that's what makes this so staggering, is that Nick Saban, who if people dig enough, they're going to find some dirty laundry on him. Why would he take this chance to put this out here for other coaches and other players who've either been with him or been recruited by him to get their licks in the future? That's shocking to me that he would take that kind of chance.
So there's a couple of answers. You got a two-part question. The first part is, you know, while I understand how you're trying to compare it to the Southwest Conference, the difference is the Big 12 was there offering them a ton of money, offering those schools to leave. So no one's going to be offering any of those SEC schools to leave and get more money. They will not make any more money than they are now. They're going to make more than anybody. So that's not a point with that. Now, number two, to the larger point, and I wrote about this today at Saturday Down South, Nick said those things because Nick's panicking. He sees the end on the horizon. He sees it. And the end, the name is the NIL. That's the end of the Alabama dynasty, because this is what everybody, you know, the initial thought with NIL, guys, was, oh, it's gonna, you know, allow Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State and Clemson to rise even further away. No, it's gonna bring everyone closer together, because the elite recruits, all things being equal, money being equal, they're not leaving their home. A perfect example is Luther Burden, who's, you know, was a number one receiver in high school this year, the number four player overall, okay, consensus, like, stud five-star guy. He's from East St. Louis, which is right across the river in Illinois, but it's basically Missouri. That kid stayed and went to Missouri because the Missouri Collective got him money instead of going to Alabama. He chose Missouri over Alabama. And this will happen over and over and over again. Another perfect example, the last championship game, Nick looked across the field and saw that Georgia had 7 5-star guys on defense. Those were the guys that when Kirby was there with him, and even to an extent a little bit anyway, after Kirby left, he was getting those players. He's not getting them anymore. He's only getting his share or less. And right now when Jimbo comes around and gets 8 5-star guys, a majority of them who could have gone to Alabama as well, Nick sees what's going on. He sees Billy Napier going into Florida, who's another guy that was an assistant under Nick. Billy Napier, within 2 weeks of getting to Florida, got a 5-star recruit out of IMG, you know, the elite academy in Bradenton. Dan Mullen got fired because he couldn't get guys out of IMG. He couldn't get guys from the state of Florida because Nick was killing it. Billy Napier did it with the help of the collective in 2 weeks. Brian Kelly goes into LSU. Brian Kelly's been recruiting top 10 classes at Notre Dame since he's been there. He's gone to the playoff twice. He's been sipping through a straw at Notre Dame as far as recruiting. What happens when he gets to LSU and he's drinking through a fire hydrant to recruit at LSU with some money and the players there? And then there's Mario Cristobal. Mario goes to Oregon, wins two Pac-12 championships. He worked under Nick. He knows the process. Now he goes to Miami, which hasn't had a legitimate national champion-type season in 2 decades. All that talent down there in South Florida, where Nick went and got Jerry Jeudy and got Amari Cooper, all those guys went down there and got, that's not happening anymore with Mario being there.
But okay.
So Nick sees the future.
Matt, it's not like it wasn't happening before. I mean, the payments were out there. Now it's just emboldened everybody. Now, is this not leveling the playing field? Because
of course,
the SEC has been paying for years and years and years. Now everybody can.
Well, first off, everybody's been paying for years, years, and years. Anyone who thinks their school, I don't care what conference you're in, isn't paying players, you're out of your mind. Everybody's been paying for years and years and years. And you're right. Now it's above board. And I think that's what really got Jimbo bent more than anything is the verbiage Nick used, bought. The word bought has that connotation of that you're cheating. If Nick would have just said, look, Jimbo knew the rules of NIL like we all did, and he played the game better than any of us, Jimbo wouldn't have been upset. But the fact that Nick said he bought every one of his players, which he did, but you don't use that word. And he didn't do it. The collective did. And I don't know if it was everyone anyway. But the collective certainly helped them with that elite recruiting class. The word bought, I think, is what got Jimbo so bent. Because honestly, at the end of the day, if everybody has the money and these players are choosing between, okay, team A with money and team B with money, they're going to go to the team that makes them feel most comfortable, the coach that makes them feel most comfortable, the staff they believe can get them ready for the NFL. And that is also what I think got Jimbo so bad, because he feels like, look, we're all on an even level. Now it's just who can recruit these guys better. And he feels like his staff did a good job. Whether that's true or not, I'm telling you, that's how he feels.
Yep, yep. How do we get it so that, you know what, it actually is name, image, likeness, as opposed to an inducement to come to my school?
I don't think you can. I mean, in Nick's perfect world, that's what it is. It's once you get to college, once you've played it at college and you've actually done something, then you get a deal. But if the Supreme Court, which last year said you can't prevent student athletes from using their name, image, and likeness, if they said that in a 9-0 decision, do you think they're all of a sudden going to say, well, high school students can't do it, but college players can?
Yeah.
No way. There's no rails on this thing, and that's the problem. You can't prohibit anyone from making money off their name, image, and likeness. And honestly, that's the way it should be. Because why would you tell someone they can't make money off their name? That's about as un-American as it gets, seriously. So I don't think we're going to get anywhere with this thing. You know, there could be these guidelines that the NCAA has issued, but they're toothless. They don't do anything. So it's simply a matter of if they catch someone that has a connection that is literally connected to the university and is working with a coach to buy a player, then I think you can get a situation where they have sanctions. But if the NCAA can't catch them working with the university, working with assistant coaches, where assistant coaches are saying, we need this player, this player, and this player, go get them, there's nothing they can do.
But you have to have sanctions that have teeth. And so I don't think that's going to happen until the NCAA sees it's inevitable, or the FBS sees the inevitable split of the biggest superpowers, the Power Five conferences, whatever it's going to look like. Until that happens, once that happens, there's going to be some regulatory board there that sets some standards. I'm not sure that we're going to see the full scale, you know, once you have the power to punish teams for wrongdoing, then you have deterrents in place. Right now, there are no deterrents. And frankly, to your point, Matt, you know, John and I know one of the guys who is a big, big player in the NIL space in terms of getting the best deals for the biggest players. He got all of Derek King's, and he works with all the biggest names. And one of the things he told us from the very beginning was, hey, look, it's the Wild West out here. Gone through schools and talked to different compliance directors, and it's basically wide open. I mean, wide, wide open. There are no rules right now. So until there are actual rules in place and then an enforcement committee, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, that's just not going to happen. I don't. You can't prevent someone from earning money off their name. So that's the issue. I think you asked me when will it end? Well, it's going to end when the 45 teams that can invest the type of money that need to be invested in playing at that level will break away. But at that point, it's going to be a completely different model. And the rest of the teams will still play football. The conferences will still be, like the SEC will still be the SEC. They'll play SEC basketball, baseball, all the other sports. The football will be a standalone league, and it will be a pay-for-play, and they will collectively bargain. It will be all of that. It will be all of that. That's when this ends. When does it happen? I don't know, 5-7 years down the road, or maybe even sooner if the situation arises where the presidents are tired of what's going on. It's going to be a presidential move. There's no doubt about that. And then it's just going to be a matter of what university is completely financially invested in doing this league.
Hmm. Well, I will tell you this. It's still Quinn Ewers had to leave Texas. Here in Texas, the UIL, the High School Association, won't allow it. So it'll be interesting to see if that's ever challenged. But that is.
But he left and got the money, right?
He went to Ohio, got his money.
Then he left Ohio and came back and got the money again. So when you're a five-star, like your guy's five-star producer, R.J. Saunders, you will find a way to get who wants you most and get the most money.
Oh, no, I'm worried about them getting their money. Especially, five stars, they're going to get paid. There's no question about it. It's just got to, like I said, now it's just out in the open. It's been happening forever. It's just out in the open now. But holy crap, we've seen coaches argue. I've seen coaches argue behind the scenes. But the way that they did that last week, Nick and Jimbo, holy crap. Never seen anything like
that. Hey, real quick, too. Honestly, we're talking about two guys who make $10 million a year arguing about players getting money.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. Right?
I
mean, you've got to be kidding me. Of course they deserve money. Let them get all the money they can.
Well, and Nick even said, I don't know, I agree with NIL at the next day. No, you
Nick wasn't
don't.
Arguing that.
Well, they all do that. That's how they all parse it.
Yeah. Matt, we know Nick was talking directly to the money guys in the room that, hey, we got to step it up.
Step up,
that's
baby.
All it was is we need
right.
more money.
Yeah, that's
yes,
it.
Of course.
Hey,
Eli Drinkwitz literally at his national signing day. Missouri signing day. Which, by the way, Missouri had a top 15 recruiting class this year. Eli Drinkwitz, at his national signing day press conference, told the community of Columbia, we need your help. He literally asked them for money at the signing day.
That's the way to do it, baby. You got to advertise. Otherwise, you ain't going to get it. Nick was just advertising, that's all. Hey, Matt, well, good stuff. We really appreciate it. It's Saturday Down South. National College football reporter Matt Hayes with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks. Good stuff.
All right. My pleasure, guys.
All right. Let's talk right now about this. I'm telling you, Billy and Mary, they are the nicest people. And what you want when you're calling a plumber is you want people that you can trust. You want people that are going to come to your home and they're going to give you a square deal. You don't want add-ons. You don't want people saying, you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do that, see? And, more money. It's going to cost. We got to rip everything out, see? No. What you want is them to tell you. And if maybe you do have to rip everything out. That might
sometimes
be the case.
That actually, know that we've got to make a move. Like, we've got a house that was built in the 60s, and one of the pipes, if we want to keep this from being a recurring problem, we're going to have to.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
I mean, that happens sometimes with homes. But I want somebody to do it who is going to do what they say they're going to do, do it the right way, and I get a fair offer from them. And that's why I have Aqueduct Plumbing.
Yeah, they're really, really awesome people. They're not going to charge to come to your home for an evaluation. A lot of these, it's just to show up for a plumber. Sometimes it's $70, $75, whatever the case may be. That's not what they do at Aqueduct Plumbing. And they're so good. They're wonderful. Emergency situations, or if you just got a consistent problem, Aqueduct Plumbing. They're really, really, really great. So if you're looking for that plumber, these are the people. AqueductPlumbing.com. It's TheBenchPlumbing.com? The Bench Plumbing.
TheBenchPlumbing.com.
Yeah, TheBenchPlumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know if you guys see the story about Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson. Apparently, Josh Donaldson, during some confrontation with Tim Anderson, he called him Jackie. A nod to Jackie Robinson. Happened in the first inning. He apologized, saying he meant no disrespect. However, Anderson, who's black, said after the game he took offense to the comment. Now, Tim, you got some? Do you have sound on this? You do. Okay. Do you have? What do you got? Anderson or John Donaldson?
So I have both. So okay. Basically, Tim Anderson, like you said, he says, you know, he found it disrespectful. You also have Donaldson saying that he apologizes for the quote, but.
Let's go Anderson first.
Here, let's play Tim Anderson, shortstop for the White Sox. The White Sox and the Yankees played. By the way, the White Sox beat them two games, which gets the Astros closer to best record in the American League. Thank you, White Sox.
Anderson went off yesterday.
Tim Anderson did go off. Here he is.
Yeah, he just made a disrespectful comment. Basically, was, trying to call me Jackie Robinson. Was like, what's up, Jackie? I don't play like that. I don't really play at all. I wasn't really, bothering nobody today. But, he made a comment, and, it was disrespectful. And I don't think it was called for. It was unnecessary.
That was when you guys crossed past the shortstop there at the end of the third?
Yeah, but that happened in the first. The first time he got on, and I spared him that time. And it happened again. It was just, just uncalled for. You don't got time to, be playing like that.
How did you manage to contain yourself based on that kind of comment?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know, to be honest. It was very disrespectful, I don't want to play like that.
You call it disrespectful. Tony just said it was racist. Is that accurate?
Yeah, same along that same line, yeah.
Can you say what he said?
You said what?
Can you say what he said?
I just said it.
So he called him Jackie. Now, here is Josh Donaldson. This is interesting. I could certainly see
before
where you're...
Before we comment on it, I want to hear from both of them because I've got thoughts too. But let's hear what Josh Donaldson had to say about it. They called him Jackie, as John said. Here's Josh Donaldson talking about it.
Tim Anderson, man. All right, so first inning I called him Jackie. So let me give you a little context of that. 2019, he came out with an interview and said that he's a new Jackie Robinson of baseball. He's going to bring back fun for the game, right? And 2019, when I played for Atlanta, we actually joked about that on the game. I don't know what's changed from, and I've said it to him in years past, not in any manner than just joking around, but the fact that he called himself Jackie Robinson, if something has changed from that, like my meaning of that is not any term trying to be racist by any fact of the matter. It was just off of an interview that what he called himself. And when we said that before, we joked about it, he laughed, whatever. As you could tell in our series that we played, there were multiple times where I tried to defuse the situation. Like I took responsibility for the tag, wasn't trying to do anything there. Like today, just trying to defuse it, like, hey, like, make light, like, hey, we're not trying to start any brawls or anything like that. Obviously, he deemed that it was disrespectful, and look, if he did, I apologize. Like, that's not what I was trying to do by any manner. That's really, that's what happened.
All right, so, interesting. Interesting. I could certainly see where he would take it. Now, but if he'd been calling him Jackie before?
There's not enough, I think, more context. I think not enough people are putting out what Josh Donaldson says. Now, it has been in articles that that's what he said, but they don't expound on everything that Josh Donaldson says. And this is really this sucks because there are people who want to create narratives that are racially polarizing and that is an agenda for some people. If you unpack the whole thing, and we're sitting here, it's okay, let's try to figure out what happened. Number one, the two players, let's start there. Number one, Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson have had issues this month. They've already gotten into it about him pushing Tim Anderson off of a bag. And they've already gotten into it once. So I think, okay, so let's state that. Now, number two, who is Josh Donaldson? Josh Donaldson is one of the saltiest trolls in Major League Baseball. He's not just a troll. He is an irritant.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Donaldson is a card-carrying irritant. Google or YouTube Josh Donaldson, and you'll see montages and compilations of Josh Donaldson's saltiest moments, whether it's against fans, other players, pitchers, his own teammates. Josh Donaldson is kind of a card-carrying a-hole, but for sure an irritant. He's also very talented, but he's for sure an irritant. I think what he did was he is trying to get under the skin of Tim Anderson by calling him Jackie. That's like if a white player called him a running joke. Well, okay. So I saw this. Tim Anderson discussed that too. He said, "No, this isn't a joke between us or something. This is something he said before." My guess is Tim Anderson won't maybe give you the whole story on it because obviously, if you listen to Josh Donaldson, I guess this has been going on for a while. If a player called himself Mickey Mantle. I'm the new Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth. You will have players, white or black, saying, "Hey, Babe, well, you're going to get your balls busted."
You know what?
Period.
They bust Tucker's balls, Ted Williams, because he's been called Ted Williams.
Yeah. Well, now Tim Anderson said, "We're not boys like that. You can't we don't have that relationship." All right,
now that's a different story.
Now they don't have that relationship, a teammate. But I do not believe that was not racially. if you called yourself Jackie Robinson, you have now opened yourself up. You've now opened yourself up for teammates to break your balls, but then someone like Josh Donaldson. What it is Josh Donaldson's being an a-hole.
Yeah.
Josh Donaldson's trying to get under your skin because that's who he is. And I would say Josh Donaldson can be called out for being an a-hole, but people are so sensitive now about anything that has a race of a person that's even included. And so you just throw a racism. That's not the definition of racism.
No.
I have to correct my kids on that sometime. I'm like, guys, I want you to know what racism actually means. Because someone who has a race, someone's race is not like there's clearly racism is actually clearly defined. I understand it's really taken on this broad term for some people. What Josh Donaldson did was he was trying to be a prick. Yeah. That's what he was trying to be. And I'm cool with, by the way, the White Sox guys like Liam Hendrickson, I'm cool with them being on the side. I thought Tony La Russa did a real disservice by throwing the term racism out there into the fire because then people say, Tony La Russa said, a 77-year-old manager, Josh was being an a-hole.
No, listen.
What he was being.
Listen, Josh Donaldson doesn't have to try to be a prick.
No,
He is. So I just
biggest in the league.
Listen, he was just with the Twins the last couple of years. Word is, they didn't like him in that locker room.
No, I'm sure.
But he played against them for all those years too, with Oakland and Toronto. So you know what? They didn't like him then. They didn't like him in the outside the locker room. They didn't like him inside the locker room. Josh Donaldson is a card carrying a hole, and you know what? Tim Anderson finally probably just had enough. But you know what? He's going to get under. You call yourself Jackie? Oh, if they're calling you Ted Williams, I'm going to call you, you know, hey, Teddy Baseball. How you doing today?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was weaponized against him. It's really unfortunate that frankly, Tony La Russa, I mean, I'll give Tim Anderson credit. Tim Anderson was the one who was saying is unprofessionally disrespectful. Tim Anderson didn't blatantly call him a racist. That was Tony La Russa. And then he was asked about it by
Tim Anderson opened Pandora's box by calling himself the new Jackie Robinson.
Oh, no question.
I would imagine everybody on every team would be, hey, Jackie, how
baby
you doing?
Baby Jordan.
Who was it called?
I wanted to say, I can't remember if it was what was his name? Baby Jordan.
Roy Marble?
No.
It was not
Roy Marble from USC.
Yeah.
I'll remember his name here in a second. Who is it? Do you remember RJ, the guy that called himself, or the guy that was called Baby Jordan that got drafted by the Heat out of USC?
Harold Miner.
I don't know if Harold Miner called himself Baby Jordan or not, but when people called him that, that's the worst thing you could have done is called him Baby Jordan. Like, oh no. Why are you doing this? Because now it's going to stick. This is really, to me, much ado about nothing, honestly. And now ESPN's going to talk about it for three straight days. And it's unfortunate because in this time we live in, the polarization, the racial issues, I don't feel like, and I get that people are sensitive about Jackie Robinson's name because Jackie is heralded and celebrated. No, I understand. People are sensitive about the name, and maybe Tim Anderson was too. But this is, I really think this is one where prickly baseball people are doing prickly baseball. This is what happens in baseball.
Absolutely. It's hard to back Josh Donaldson.
You can't back Josh Donaldson.
No, but man, you called yourself that. Guess what? You're opening it up for everybody. Doug Kide is going to join us, NFL reporter for Pro Football Focus, on the other side. But first, we need some siding.
Well, Allstate, great, because I got somebody. I've got Allstate Windows and Siding. And if you need siding work, they, of course, are doing siding work for you over there. I've had them do that for me, and they do great work. But, you know, Allstate, one of the things that really I think you have to know about Allstate Windows and Siding is that Allstate Windows and Siding, they go out of their way to get you new retrofit windows. And retrofit windows are fit into your home now. So when you have the soil moves, you know, with the clay that we have underneath us, a lot of times we have foundation issues. And that really changes the fitting of the window. These small changes allows window leakage. And that means cooler air is escaping during the summer. And it has a big impact on your electric bill. You may also see it a little dustier in your home than it was before. Listen, I want to make your home as energy efficient as possible. New windows from Allstate Windows and Siding are going to do that. And they can lower your bill by as much as 40%. There's been studies on this. It's incredible. Up to 40% is what you can save on your energy bills. Why wouldn't you take advantage of this energy efficiency with my friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding, where they can retrofit your home with brand new, beautiful windows that are made here in Texas, and they're made to withstand the terrible Texas weather we have at different times. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. 25% off your windows. And for a limited time, no interest for 36 months. All you have to do is mention ESPN 97.5. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Right, welcome back. Doug Kide, NFL reporter for Pro Football Focus, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Doug, welcome in.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're both really looking forward to this real sports, interviews of all of several of the women that Deshaun Watson that have accused Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct, let's say. This is going to bode poorly for the Cleveland Browns, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly will. I think this entire season will probably won't bode that well for the Cleveland Browns. They've kind of made the decision, they've made their bed, and now they have to lie in it. And I don't know. It's definitely going to be interesting to see what is said on Tuesday on Real Sports, and then also ultimately what the NFL decides this season for a potential length of suspension for Deshaun Watson. Because I think a lot of people think that the Browns are primary contenders in the AFC North right now, and who knows? They might not be given the potential length of suspension that Deshaun Watson could get.
Does Trevor Bauer play into this at all? 2 years suspended by Major League Baseball?
I don't think so. I think that the NFL will use their own history. It's possible. This is somewhat unprecedented, I guess I would say. You know, a player sitting out an entire season, the talent level of Deshaun Watson, how many accusers there are. But I can't personally see something that lengthy for Deshaun Watson.
I think this is... It's going to be really intriguing. What Josina Anderson brought up, the fact that, you know, she talked to an NFL source that said Major League Baseball is going to be perceived to be tough on violence against women or sexual misconduct against women, either one, for players when you have what amounts to a 2-year suspension for maybe a lifetime ban on Trevor Bauer. And we'll see how this plays out. We saw how it happened with Ray Rice. toward the end of his career. But I think it is really going to be curious to see what the NFL does now in lieu of what took place with Trevor Bauer. Do you see it the same way? Do you think that has any impact on the way NFL at least processes what their penalty is going to be?
This is going to sound callous, and I'm sure, and I mean it is, but I'm not sure if the NFL cares about what Major League Baseball did with Trevor Bauer. I'm not sure if it's going to be part of their decision process, because I mean I don't think ultimately they care to be held to the same standard as Major League Baseball. And I think that it's admirable what Major League Baseball did with Trevor Bauer. I think that's probably the way that things should be handled. But I think that the Browns would, be adamant that the NFL has never done anything similar to that before. Obviously, with Ray Rice, it did wind up being basically a career suspension, but that was NFL teams' decisions. That wasn't the NFL saying, okay, we're going to ban this guy for life. So I see it playing out the same way, where it's not going to be that lengthy of a suspension. It's going to be on par with what the NFL has handed out before. And since the Browns have already given Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract, they're certainly not going to be the ones to decide to sit him, regardless of the length of the suspension.
Doug Kide, Pro Football Focus, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Doug, last year I got Cooper Kupp in the fifth round of my fantasy draft. Did anybody see, is there any indicators from Pro? You guys do the best with numbers of everybody. What kind of indicators can we see that a guy is going to just break out and be an unbelievable asset like Cooper Kupp was last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was fantastic last season, and I think that will continue on this season too. So that was quite a steal that you got there. And I think that the one big thing with Cooper Kupp kind of throughout his career is that he kept on improving. He was, a good player for the first two or three seasons of his career, took a step forward in 2020, then obviously took a massive step forward in 2021. And the fact that, Matthew Stafford is still there, and, if anything, they've kept the receiving core. I guess they've subtracted a couple of pieces there, obviously added Allen Robinson, but I think that he's going to just be the focal point there of the offense again this season. So I think that he's going to be he could wind up being, once again, the best wide receiver in football this season. No, it's basically between him, Davante Adams, and some of the younger players, but he's definitely right up there again this season.
Doug Kide with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And Odell, I mean, and McVay has said, hey, we want Odell back. What a wide receiving core. Now, they did lose Woods, and that is going to hurt because he was, but they still won the Super Bowl without Woods. Best receiving cores I saw where the Houston Texans could possibly have the best receiving core in the AFC South. When you look at the AFC South, Christian Kirk added now to the Jaguars. You lose A.J. Brown with the Titans. Pittman's the best guy in the Colts. Brandon Cooks, and now the Texans have added a couple of wide receivers. What do you think there?
Jeez, that's not exactly the best division for wide receiver cores. But, I mean, yeah, I guess you could potentially make that argument. It depends a lot on the health of John Metchie this season, I guess I would say, when he can return from that ACL tear. But he certainly adds a high-impact player at that position when he can get healthy. But, no, things aren't very strong with the Indianapolis Colts. I like Michael Pittman, but I'm not sure if he's really the prototypical number one receiver that you want in an offense. I think Alex Pierce could make an impact. Jaguars, they definitely spent a lot of money on their wide receiver core, but I'm not sure exactly how much better they got there. Obviously, Christian Kirk was a ton of money. Zay Jones, they spent a lot on him. They still got Marvin Jones in there, Jamal Agnew, and then the Titans, it's a little bit ugly there other than adding Robert Woods. I don't know. I guess I would probably have to say it's between the Texans and the Jaguars. And like I said, it depends pretty heavily on the health of John Metchie and when he can actually get back on the field after that torn ACL.
Well, this is, I think one of the most interesting things for me, Doug, and I don't, and this might be a conversation for, some of the guys like Steve over there, but I always, this comes up every year. the way that the NFL is set up, I feel like if you have a late first-round pick or you have two first-round picks, the idea of taking an elite running back in the first round, which is scoffed at by everyone across the board from a number standpoint and from an analytics standpoint, but the ability to have club control over that player for potentially 7 years, when you look at the expense of a second contract, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's only in certain instances for certain teams and certain players. But I think the idea of having, I think the idea of paying a wide receiver these crazy exorbitant second and third contracts with the talent that's coming in now versus the concept of never ever paying or drafting a running back in the first round when you can have potentially club control for 7 years, I think that's a discussion that's worthy of having.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of running backs in the first round. And you know, one of the reasons I covered the Patriots for a number of years, they took Sony Michel in the first round of the 2018 draft, right. and that really did not work out very well for them. And the one thing I would say about using a first-round pick on a running back is that I saw a stat recently on Twitter. I forgot who it was. It might have been someone from PFF. It was just kind of cruising through Twitter. But the best running back in football, I think, over the last, like, 7 or 8 years have been guys who are under 25 years old. So that tells me, obviously that tells you in one way that maybe it is smart to draft a really good running back high and make sure that you're getting him, for the first, 3-4 years of his career. But the other thing it tells me though is that maybe it's not that valuable to hold on to him for that fifth year option or for those, 6 or 7 years of control. Maybe you really only want these guys for 3 or 4 years to get their max production, and then you just kind of go over it again and draft someone else in the second round. That's probably the way that I would personally look at it. Obviously, there have been some hits late in the first round for running backs, but personally for me, I would probably wait for the second or third round. And it's, like I said, another callous way of looking at it, but the smartest way to handle running backs might be to just kind of like chew them up and spit them out when they're at the peak of their performance earlier in their career.
Quickly, before we let you go, who's going to benefit more from a new head coach, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields?
I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. Couldn't have gone that much worse for him in his rookie season. So I like the fit there with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, and anything would be an improvement over last year with Urban Meyer.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, though, anything couldn't be an improvement over what Nagy did with Justin Fields last year. <Sure. either. laughs> We appreciate it. Hey, Doug. Doug Kine with us here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, Pro Football Focus. Doug, we appreciate you hanging with us. Thanks.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, Doug Kine right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird coming your way, and it is weird next. But first, you know what's weird? Not having a patio.
It's unfortunate. I don't know if it's weird. I know it's unfortunate for you if you don't have a patio. I was looking at some of the fans yesterday. These big fans. I'll just call them big fans. That's what they are, and it's in the name, because I'm going to get some new fans added to my patio when they're building my my outdoor kitchen space. I'm getting a flat top put in that I can do the bacon out there, burgers, cheeseburgers. I can make my own little trill burger. Sorry, bun. I'm going to try to copy what you're doing right on my own little flat top. And Texas Custom Patios is going to build it. I should have had it built in with my original patio when they built it, but I chose not to. But here's the thing. If you think, well, I'm just not sure it's in my budget, if you want to get it financed, they can finance it for you. You can get everything that you want right now. They're going to turn it into a backyard oasis. They for sure are going to do that. All you need to do is make sure that you go with the company in Texas Custom Patios that builds the best outdoor living spaces with the best quality of materials. And everything about them, really, I think, is top-notch. When you go to the website and you see the before and afters, you'll be blown away. And then you'll say, wait a minute, that looks like my backyard. They could do that for my house? They absolutely can. Make sure that you go to TexasCustomPatios.com and check out the work that they've done. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance, did you ever try to hack into the Bank of Zambia?
Yeah, done it once, and it was unsuccessful.
What happened?
I did multiple, Zombians came after me?
Well,
was a zombie in apocalypse?
Well, then it well, these aren't zombies. This is the Bank of Zambia. Okay. It's not zombies. But the Bank of Zambia.
Zombians.
Yeah, if you try to hack in and they find you, that's a cyber attack, you know what they do? They send you a D-pic. Immediately a D-pic pops up on your screen.
No way. That's great.
That is awesome. They said, try. Go ahead. See what happens to
I wouldn't tell people to try to hack our stuff.
See what happens.
Because Anonymous will go, okay, I mean, we'll do it right now if you want us to.
Well, if they want to see D-pics, that's
on
what they're going
to
get.
On Facebook, all I get now is, oh, no, look who died.
Mm-hmm.
Direct message, I'm like, that's a fake. Somebody's hacked your account. They've hacked your account. Delete, delete, delete.
New York, their high court is going to determine if a Bronx Zoo elephant is a person. Apparently, the high court, the Non-Human Rights Project, says that the elephant deserves the same rights as a human being. They deserve the right to be happy. And since it's enclosed and caged, this elephant is not happy. So, does an elephant deserve the same rights as humans to be happy? Is an elephant a person? And deserve the same human rights.
Is an elephant a mammal?
An elephant is a...
It's a pachyderm. I think it's a mammal, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it's got elephant hair.
Does it have the right to happiness?
Yeah, sometimes happiness being in a cage that doesn't trample all over everybody.
Well, or happiness is, you know, I don't have to go find my own food. You're going to feed me every day.
I mean...
I don't mind it.
I mean, I wish I was treated more like that. I mean, am I happy to stay in my house? Watching TV, like, oh, food's ready.
Yeah.
Some ways.
It's not a bad deal.
Some ways we kind of live that existence, don't we?
Yeah.
Like during the pandemic.
In a cage.
We were all elephants.
Right. A sheep has been sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Yeah, it's a sheep.
A sheep.
A sheik.
Sheep.
The animal.
The animal. For killing an elderly woman.
Three years in prison.
A ram sentenced to 3 years in prison for allegedly attacking and headbutting an elderly woman to death in South Sudan. 3 years in prison.
What does prison look like?
Do you think it'll be a deterrent for other rams?
I don't. I also think, yeah, I'd like to know how that went down.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but...
Is there any raw footage on that? Like, did it just roll up in the village?
Not
or?
Sure how many people are rolling on stuff in Sudan. I don't know. I don't know how that's working.
Did people, you know, did she go into its territory? Like, I need to know how this...
Well,
was it self-defense?
From the ram to an elderly woman?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was the elderly woman beaten on it?
You know, you got don't carry here. You got the free carry here or whatever. Like, you know, sometimes did he step on her property? That's a... He can protect his own property.
Apparently, Wells Fargo's under some... it's got some problems again.
Does it have to do with social media?
Nope.
Did somebody tweet something?
They're being accused of staging fake job interviews for black people and women in quest for diversity.
That's going to get you in some trouble. That's going to, in diversity quest. Listen, I know we say diversity and all that. What if we just did some fake interviews? That feels like
it seems like an interview, doesn't it?
In this day and age, I feel like we're going to get caught, sir. I'm not sure we should do that.
Well, apparently...
Is the juice worth the squeeze, sir?
Apparently, they're having a problem with that in there. Would you like to be flying in the Gatwick? Have you ever flown in the London? No.
No.
Gatwick Airport is a pain in the ass, by the way. But when you're flying in, if it says, welcome to Luton, which is 60 miles south, would that kind of freak you out a little bit? As you're landing?
Not me. I'm not observant enough. I'd just be like, oh.
Apparently, they put up a sign on the grass right outside of Gatwick that said, welcome to Luton.
Oh, just to throw
people
off?
And everybody's like, what the?
That's
not a bad one. Not a bad one.
Welcome. if we did that, welcome to Hobby.
Right.
Hobby?
I'm about to be here. My car's parked in the parking
garage. Welcome to San Antonio.
What? Yeah.
What?
Who did this?
All right, we're done. We will be back tomorrow. Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I'm going to talk about, look, everybody on Twitch, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, Coors Light. You can see it's the world's most refreshing beer. Hey, listen, you're keeping the mountains blue. What were you doing while you were watching the golf tournament this weekend? I know what I was doing. I was drinking cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, Coors Light. I was keeping, Well, actually, I was keeping Louisiana chill, okay? That's where I was this weekend. I was keeping Louisiana chill, but I'm keeping Texas chill most of the time, okay? And then when I got back here to Texas and I was watching the golf tournament yesterday, I was keeping Texas chill. Listen, it's what I do. When I'm watching the Astros, what am I doing? I'm drinking a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's what I do. When you're playing golf, when you're playing poker, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Taking a shower, whatever. It doesn't matter, all right? If you want cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, if you want to keep Texas chill, that's what you do. I mean, I love it. You'll love it, too. Try it for yourself. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.